desire your prayers tonight. We have something on our heart we've had for days. We need the Lord to help us to deliver it. I'm going to tell where I got this message, or how the Lord gave it to me, in a better way to say it, I guess. I normally do not do that, but the Lord gives messages in all kind of ways to His people, His ministers. And that is, weeks ago, back in the first part of June, it was after Guthrie, so it had to be the first part of June before I went to Green Bank for the meeting out there. I had made a salad for myself that afternoon, and I'd put some tuna fish out, open the can and put some on the salad and put some in a container and put it in the refrigerator. And later, as I was walking through the kitchen, a little later, I smelled this smell and got my attention, so I stopped and looked. Thought I had everything taken care of, and went on my way and come back in a little bit later, and it was still there. And I thought, what's the problem? So I got to looking, and I got a deep looking then. And I got to digging, and I found a small, small piece of tuna fish laying on top in front of the sink between the edge of that counter, that little strip that goes there about that wide, and it was a small piece laying right there. And that little piece was causing an odor. I quickly took care of the problem, no more odor. How many of you like a stink tonight? How many of you come on something that did not smell very good and you just kind of turned and walked away or took care of the problem or whatever? You don't like it, do you? Anybody in here like stinking smell? Later that evening, I was sitting on the back porch, enjoying the evening, praying, and the Lord spoke to me very plain, and He said, the stench of sin. And that's my burden tonight, is the stench of sin. I'm not a very good writer in any way you look at it anymore. If I ever was very good, I'm sure not anymore, especially up here. Let's go to Isaiah, the 6th chapter, and look here for a minute. I want to start out on the one side, go to another angle, and then get into the depths of it. I've got things tonight that I've never had on this, so we need the Lord to be able to open it up to you and I, to be able to get it where we can understand it. Isaiah, the 6th chapter, and about the first verse in reading, he said, in the year of King Uzziah died, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And it stood, above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain He covered His feet. With twain He covered His feet. He feathered His face. With twain He covered His feet. He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am the man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hands, which he had taken with tongues from off the altar, laid it upon my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Now then, he said here, and one cried unto another in the third verse and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now listen, folks, tonight, God is a holy God. Christ is a holy Christ. Holy Spirit is a holy Spirit. They are holy, holy, holy. It's holy. It's been that way from the beginning. It's still that way tonight. It's not changed. Sin can never enter into heaven. The bottom line is God is a God of holiness and sin is a stench to him. Any sin, the smallest sin to the largest sin, if you want to say it that way, is a stench in the eyes and the nostrils of God. He don't like it. He gave his own son to take care of that. He had an inferior system in the beginning, but from the foundation of the world, he said, set away that he was going to be able to make a plan whereby when him and Christ deemed the time right that he was going to come and he was going to be born of a virgin and he was going to do the thing that needed to be done to be able to deliver, to purify and to work and give a people power and authority over the thing that was doing so much damage in the world. So he said, holy, holy, holy. Now today, people don't want to really think that God is still holy. But it said, be holy for I am holy, the Bible said. Christ is still holy. God is still holy. Heaven is still holy. It's not something that is diminished in that in any way. Holiness unto the Lord, it is still holy. It will always be that way from now to the end of time. So you and I are going to have to be what Christ in the Bible says we're going to be if we're going to make heaven. All right, let's go to Proverbs 14 and 34. Proverbs 14 and 34. Again, I need your prayers. He said, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Sin is a reproach to any people. He that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Another scripture over here in 1 John, I believe it is. You get that, I don't have it written down. It said, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law. For sin is a transgression of the law. So tonight, it said, righteousness exalteth God. When this nation was founded, it was founded on biblical principles. It was founded, they departed from England and they come over here for freedom. They come over here where they could worship God the way they wanted to. They come over here and founded things on the very Bible and set things in place. But over a period of time, those things have deteriorated and evaporated. And so consequently, we don't have the country we used to have because the very principles that it was founded on and based on the Word of God, they've gotten away from that. They're not doing that. Righteousness exalts a nation. This nation's been the most powerful nation in the whole world. It has been ahead of time. It's done more than any other nation in the world. But the bottom line tonight, sin is a reproach to any people, to any nation, to any family, to any individual, to any company, to any people that claim to be a congregation or church in the world. Sin is a reproach to them, and it destroys people by the multitudes. It's a reproach tonight. It's very much of a reproach. Always has been. And it always will be. It is something that does great, great damage. And so consequently, in the fifth chapter of John, St. John, 10th verse, let's see what Christ says about this. Here is where the man went down, or Jesus went by the Jerusalem, by the sheep market, pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And Christ went down and, or said an angel went down certain season in the pool, troubled the water, whosoever first in troubling of the water stepped in was made whole, and whatsoever disease he had. But a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Arise, and take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. He took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Now then, the tenth earth, the Jews therefore said to him that was cured, Is it the Sabbath day? Is it not lawful for thee to carry thy bed? He answered them, and he said, and he answered them, He that made me whole, the same said to me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple. He said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more. Lest the worst thing cometh to thee. Now tonight, if sin wasn't so important, Jesus wouldn't deal with it. If it wasn't bringing a reproach and destruction, Jesus wouldn't have to mess with it. But the bottom line, as we go through the scriptures, the bottom line, this thing has been condemned from the very beginning. It started out under condemnation and it's still under condemnation. He told this man, go and sin no more. Don't sin anymore, lest the worst thing come upon you. Listen, folks, tonight, there's a lot of people that have gotten right and they've gone back and they have gotten themselves in much more mess than they were before. They've gotten themselves in a lot of problems and trouble because they walked away from the one God that has saved them and delivered them and blessed them and rose them up and set them on a straight way and blessed their lives, and they went on their way and they got away from that and they went back into sin. That's the worst thing. If you want a worst thing to come upon you, just get away from Christ. Just get away from the Lord. He said, go and sin no more. All right, the 8th chapter of John, where the woman is taken in the act of adultery. And I'm not going to read all this to take time. But Jesus said here in the 11th verse, he said, she said, no man, you know the story. And the man condemned thee. And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And then the 21st verse. He said here, then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way. You shall seek me. You shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. The 24th verse. And I said therefore unto you, that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Tonight, the bottom line is, Jesus told these people to go and sin no more. Don't do it. Don't get back into what you was in. You are wrong. I'm not condemning you. I've got mercy on you. I'm not going to treat you by the law. I'm treating you by the law of mercy tonight. I'm going to save you and redeem you and wash you, but I'm telling you, don't go back into that thing. I'm telling you, leave that thing alone, Christ has said. Go and sin no more. Listen tonight. Let's go to Genesis, the 3rd chapter. Sin. Sin is a reproach to any people. It's bondage. It's death. It's deceiving. It's destructive. It's hateful to God in Christ. It makes you crazy. Makes you insane, so to speak. That's the reason we have people that can't make rational, right decisions, because their mind is messed up, so to speak, because of sin. There's a misery with it. It has a penalty with it. It separates from God. It brings shame. It brings on sickness at times. There's many of people that are sick today, and it brought on by the avenues of sin that they have gone down for many years. It's horrible. There's no peace, no joy. There's no godly or right love. There's no faith in God. It ruins people's lives. And then the bottom line is, it caused the very death of Jesus Christ because of sin. All right, the 3rd chapter of Genesis, where it all started with Adam and Eve. Let's drop down into, I'm not going to read it all again, to redeem the time. But you know, the story probably is good or better than I do. And the bottom line here, Jesus comes down. And he said here in about the 9th verse, 3 and 9 of Genesis, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? He said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Now listen, folks, I don't want to say this too lightly, but the bottom line is they started passing the buck real quick. Adam didn't want to take responsibility for it. Eve didn't want to take responsibility for it. They just kept passing it right on down. But Jesus didn't let any of them off. He did not let them off. He dealt with every one of them individually. This is something that Christ, from the very beginning, he knew this could happen. He knew there was a possibility, evidently. So consequently, God, in his mindset, if he knew it was going to happen, he was going to deal with it. And he was going to deal with it firmly. He was going to deal with it concisely. He was going to let it be known, listen, you can't do this and get away. You have broken the commandment. I laid it out. I told Adam. Adam evidently told Eve. The serpent come along and beguiled her. Then she gave to Adam and he did eat. And everybody started to pass the buck. Truman said, I believe it was President Truman said, the buck stops here. Well, where the buck really stops is with God. You and I can't pass it and keep it going. It's going to stop right there. It's going to stop in our prayers. There have been times that maybe you have made a mistake or maybe you've done something and you look at it and you say, I shouldn't have done that. And you begin to maybe wiggle and squirm a little bit, but the Lord lets you know, no, I'm going to deal with that. I'm going to work with it. Listen, I made a mistake one time and the Lord went with me. He started in California and he whipped me all the way to Oklahoma. And after I got back here, he gave me one of the worst chastisements I'd ever had up in that time for something I'd done. I didn't consider it. It wasn't sin in my thought. But the bottom line was he was not pleased with what I'd done. And so consequently, he dealt with it and he worked with it. And when he got through with it, I knew I'd been well chastised. Well, when he got through with them here, they knew they'd been well dealt with. There wasn't any wiggle room here. The Lord started out with a serpent, and he said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field, upon thy belly thou shalt go, dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband. He shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Now then, like I said, God dealt with it, I feel, rightly from the very beginning. They had it made. They had everything perfect. How many of you have got everything perfect tonight? You know why you don't have everything perfect? Because of this right here. It all got messed up that day. When Eve done and Adam done what they did, the the serpent messed things up, so to speak. Blame it on whoever you want to. The bottom line is, folks, listen, it got them in trouble, and it goes all the way down to you and I today. We can blame the whole thing on Adam and Eve because of what the devil did. But listen, folks, today sin is still just as bad as it was then, and worse. It's corruptive. It does major damage to everything that it can. So consequently, tonight, Jesus dealt with it. God dealt with it. He said, no, you're not going to get away with it. He put them out of the garden. He put flaming swords there to stop it. He would not allow them to go back and do the things that they once did. Listen, they had it perfect. There's a way for protection. There's a way to perfection tonight, and that's through the blood of Jesus. Bless your heart. You can get back to that garden experience in your heart. You can have the perfection that away. We may not have it any other way. Been a lot of places, seen a lot of things. If I just had a place to choose, maybe I might go to Hawaii and just stay there. It didn't take me very long to fall in love with Hawaii. Perfect temperature, paradise, so to speak. But the bottom line is, they got put out of the garden. All right, let's go to Genesis 4th chapter. Here's one of the saddest things in the Bible, in a way. 4th chapter of Genesis. Let's start reading here about the 3rd verse. Adam knew Eve, well, first verse, his wife, she conceived, bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Then again she bare his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of the sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. Process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. The Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. Came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and he slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? He said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. I want to go where Brother Michael was last night. Fifth chapter of Mark. I want to read here just a little bit. I want to bring some things together by the help of the Lord. Talks about the man of the tombs. And I believe I've got some inspiration here on some of this I've never had before. And this man was a bad man. And Jesus, let's go on down. Again, I won't read it all. But about the 6th verse, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshiped him. And he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now, back at that time, there were spirits. Today, there are spirits. Now, Cain killed Abel. He done a dastardly deed in the early part of this whole setup, so to speak. And tonight, somebody will say, well, Brother Carl, I'll never commit murder. I'll never kill nobody. That's not anything that I would ever do. But listen, folks, there's murderous spirits out there. There's thousands of them. There's thousands of lustful spirits. There's thousands of homosexual spirits. There's thousands of all kind of spirits. Way back then, he said, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he was having influence over this man. He was controlling him. This man was crying and cutting himself. He was doing things that had people completely worried. And everything, he bust and changed. And nobody could bind him and nobody could control him. And so consequently, there was now one that come along that could. But the bottom line is, he said there's many of us. Tonight, there's many spirits in the world. Now, you may never be possessed with a spirit, but I want to tell you something. Those spirits are out there, and they want to give some problems. They want to work with things. They want to deal with things. And when a person lives in sin, and back there in Genesis, God told Cain, he said, sin lieth at the door. All right, well, how close would that be? That's pretty close, isn't it? It's right there. In other words, it's not very far away. There's something here, Cain. He told Peter. Peter made the bold statement. But Jesus just cut him back down, so to speak. He said, this night thou wilt betray me. And when the cock crows and so forth. In other words, Peter, you're speaking big, but you're not going to be able to do what you say you're going to be able to do. Well, there's a reason for that. The reason was he was not filled with the Holy Ghost. He didn't have the power that he had later. He was in a position that he wanted to do right, and he wanted to do it, but he was not able to do it. All right, now then, sin lieth at the door. Tonight, the devil comes along and starts bringing things to people's minds in sin. And they start bringing things in. And somebody does somebody wrong. And maybe they won't do much with it at that point. But over a period of time, the devil works with that. There's spirits out there that want to work with that. Listen, folks, tonight, I'll never kill a man, Brother Carl. You might not, but you might too. If you live in sin, there's a chance that you could end up in prison. Because you killed somebody. I'm going to give you an instant. 1977, South Oklahoma City. We had the Sirloin Stockade murders. Some men went in there to rob the store, rob the steakhouse. And this is why Cain was angry. He didn't like what was going on. He was upset. God dealt with it. But he did not do what he ought to do. This man went in to rob this place. There was six employees, if I remember right. One of them was a preacher. I read this or heard this on the news. And they said there, this preacher, and I don't know exactly what he said or he done, but he made one of these men by the name of Roger Dale Stafford mad. It made him angry. A spirit moved in. Began to work with that. Roger Dale took one man at a time back to the locker and he executed them. Bang, pow, they were dead right there. Went and got another one. Can you imagine coming and looking? A spirit was behind that. A spirit got that man to do. He did not go in there. It was flat said in the news. He did not go in there to kill anybody. He went in there to rob the place. But the devil got to working. Listen, folks, when people live in sin, they give an open field for the devil to work. And consequently, he's going to work all he can and get you deeper and deeper and deeper if he can. You have no power. You have no authority. You have no way to stop it. So consequently, he gets you into trouble deeper and deeper and deeper. It's dangerous to live in sin, folks. Roger Dale Stafford went on, went into South Oklahoma, and he killed three more people. Then he went north, back up into Chicago or Boston or somewhere up there, and he was able to hide from the law for a good while. Nobody could nail him. They couldn't find him. They couldn't get him. But finally, a girlfriend of his, or an ex-girlfriend of his, whatever it was, squealed on him and said, "There's your man right there." They had hundreds of pieces of evidence. All they needed was the man. When they had the trial, folks, it I don't remember how long the trial took, but if I remember right, when the jury went back, it only took them a little bit of time because of all the evidence so linked together, there was no doubt who'd done these murders. They come out and said he's guilty. Today he's in eternity, folks. He's in eternity, if I'm not mistaken. Now, Brother Ted can probably back me, Brother Curtis maybe. If I'm not mistaken, Brother Madden used to work with this man. He talked to him before he died. He said, "I made it right with God." But the bottom line, folks, is he still killed that man and those people. He done those murders. There's spirits out there of all types that want to affect you. I'm not saying you'll be devil possessed, but it's the very beginning of that if you do not do something about it. Oh, tonight, run to Jesus, folks. Run to Jesus. Run from sin. Run from the devil. Run from everything that is wrong, because the devil wants to destroy you. He wants to do you every way he can. Sin lieth at the door. Cain, you better be careful. Now, I could be wrong about this statement here, but I don't think I'm too far off. I dare say the Lord's told a lot of people sin lieth at the door. He dealt with a lot of people and told them, you better be careful. You better watch out, because sin is real close. In other words, destruction's at hand. But those spirits get to working, and when they do, those people go ahead and are influenced by them, and they make their moves and they do things that later they deeply regret for many, many years. Joshua, the 4th chapter. Achan. You know the story. Not Joshua, the 4th chapter. I want Joshua, the 7th chapter. Excuse me. I found it always reads right, folks, when I get in the right chapter. Again, I'm not going to read it all, but they had went up and God had told them things to do, and this man had coveted, decided he wanted something. And in the 10th verse of 7th chapter of Joshua, and the Lord said unto Joshua, "Get thee up, wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel has sinned. They have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy their curse from among you." Again, he gives commands. You do this, this, and this. And this man decided, I want that. I want that. So he took that. But God saw it. Listen, folks, he sees. There has been a multitude of people down through the years have covered things up. Hid things, secret things, all kind of things down through the years. God sees it. There's not a thing he don't see. There's not a lie that's told. There's not a thing that is stolen. Even if it's a very small thing, a very little thing, God sees it. Christ sees it. He knows what you've done or what you haven't done. And so consequently tonight, Achan took it. He took it. And Israel went out to battle, and Israel got whipped pretty good. And Joshua goes, "What's going on here?" And the Lord just flat said, "Israel has sinned." Listen, folks, again, he's dealing with it. He didn't spare. It cost this man his life for the very things. I don't know what Achan thought he was going to do. If he put it on and marched down the street. If he took it and tried to sell it. Or what it was in his mind. But the bottom line was, he didn't get away with it. Listen tonight. You may have something covered up. You may have something hid. And you may think it's going to go for a many year. It might do it. But one day, it will be dealt with, even if it's at the judgment. It will be dealt with. You cannot cover it up forever. You cannot totally hide it. God knows it. He sees it. And if nothing else on the judgment day, he will say to them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. He will deal with it. Achan lost his life. Everything he had. He admitted it. Achan said in the 20th verse, Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold, and 50 shekels of weight, then I coveted them, took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Oh, tonight, sin is costly. Cost him his life. It's costing people tonight their lives. There is people, I dare say, have gone out into eternity tonight because of sin. Sin is taking people out by the thousands. It is doing such a corruption. It is ruining. Somebody says, what's wrong with America? Why is America in the mess it's in? Because of sin. That's what's ruining America. That's what's ruining people's lives. There's a lot of tears being shed on pillows tonight. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of anguish that's out there because of people that is dabbling and working and doing things in sin. And they can't help it. It's got them bound. It's got them chained. It's got them in a position that they can't stop doing it. And it only gets worse, folks. It don't get any better. Well, I just, teenagers, they put peer pressure. Well, here, smoke a cigarette. Seems so harmless. But one thing leads to two, and two leads to three, and then it all gets out of hand. Well, here, smoke a little marijuana. Just marijuana, ain't no big deal. They're even legalizing it here and there. Medical purposes. Colorado's doing what they've done with it. The bottom line, folks, is still sin. Amen. It's still sin. I don't care how you cover it, pet it, how you put sugar on top, put a chair on top of that. Sin is sin. It's sin in the eyes of God, and it's still destroying people by the thousands every day. So consequently, you need to leave sin alone. You need to run from it. All right, let's go to 1 Samuel 15. This is about Saul. And Saul was told to go out. In the first verse, Samuel also said to Saul, the Lord send me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. Spare them not, but slay both man, woman, infant, suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them. And it goes on down then. And about the 17th verse, Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own eyes, in thy own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners of the Amalekites and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil? And did us evil in the sight of the Lord. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people, here we go, passing the buck again, folks. Now this is a king. You'd think he'd have more common sense than that. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice. They had a good excuse, they felt here. unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in a band the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey it better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of ram. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. Samuel said unto Saul, I'll not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent thy kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, from thee this day, and has given it to the neighbor of thine that is better than thou. Now, it would seem that this is very simple here. Just do everything I tell you to do. Destroy everything I tell you to destroy. But Saul allowed the people to do what they wanted to do. I'm going to tell you something tonight, folks. Well, I want to give you another scripture time with this. Let's go to Ezekiel 3rd chapter. Ezekiel 3rd chapter, 17th verse. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest them not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered his soul, thy soul. Again, when the righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because I had not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he had done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned, thou hast delivered thy soul. Now tonight I want to lay out, by the help of the Lord, I want to lay out a firm warning here. What he's saying here is warn the righteous to sin not. Saul was a king. He was a man selected by God. When he was little in his own sight, he was selected to be the king of Israel. He was in a high position. He had power. He had authority. He had everything he needed, so to speak. He had God backing him up, but he didn't do what he ought to do. Listen, folks, tonight we can be kings and priests unto God, but we can get old. And I know of cases where the children come in and done things. One of them I'm thinking about, they brought a television in. Watch out now, Brother Carl. They brought a TV in, and they made a statement, I dare Carl Schaefer to do anything with this television. I didn't touch it. I didn't do anything with it, but I prayed. And one day the man went, somebody went to turn it on. I don't know if it's a man or somebody else, a brother or somebody else. Anyway, he went and turned that TV on. It blew up in his face, so to speak, and took care of that. They never brought another one in. What I'm saying is this. Listen, you and I need to be very careful. We need to be on our guard. Warn the righteous to sin not. Listen, folks, if our children, if our family members try to get us to do things that God is not pleased with, I want to warn you, don't do it. Warn the righteous to sin not.
Samuel got himself into a lot of trouble because he allowed the people to do what they wanted to do. Well, we're going to do this. We're going to sacrifice this to God and so forth. Listen, folks, when he tells us to do something, do it. He's not going to give any little fine line. He says, do it, do it. If we cross it the other way, we're going to get in trouble. Samuel got in trouble and cost him the whole kingship because he didn't do what he ought to do. Oh, Lord, help us tonight. Warn the righteous to sin not. All right, let's begin to bring it down. Let's go to Psalms 38 chapter, first verse. Psalms 38. Oh, Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is any rest in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities are gone over my head, and as heavy a burden they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desires before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. Now he says here, he said, there is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. Now, the fifth verse says, my wounds stink and are corrupt. The wounds of sin tonight, folks, go deep. And they go with people for years and years and years. There's people die with wounds of sin that they have carried for many years. And they go out into eternity. And they've had these wounds, and I'm not talking about people that's gotten saved. I'm talking about people that has committed major sin. Well, let me look here. I didn't check this out, but it came to my mind. He said over here, wait a minute. Didn't he say over here of my sin? Yes. In the 51st chapter of Psalms, and in the third verse, he said, for I acknowledge my transgression, my sin is ever before me. Listen, folks, today, people are committing major sins, and they can't just cover them up and never think about them again. Amen. You can't just cover them up and wash them out. The only thing can wash them is the blood of Jesus. And still, you're probably going to have some kind of memory of that thing. But that's the safe way to do it. But tonight, the wounds of sin, they go deep. And they go deep and they go deep and they stay that way for many, many years. And that's why people have commit suicide. It's because these saints get to a place where they can't handle it anymore and they don't have any power. And consequently, the devil tempts them far enough. A spirit works hard enough and they just blow their head off, so to speak. It's because of the wounds of sin that is disturbing them so bad. They can't sleep at night. They can't hardly work during the day because of the sin that they're under. My wounds stink and are corrupt. It said my iniquities are gone over my head. My iniquities. God did not create you to be a pack mule for sin. I want to repeat that. God didn't create you to be a pack mule for sin. He created you to serve God. He created you to bless God. He created you to bless people. He created you to work for Him. He didn't make you a pack mule. He doesn't want you to be a pack mule. The devil does, but God doesn't do those things. He wants you to serve Him, praise God. He wants you to give liberty and freedom and power. He wants to deliver you and bring you up and out and do things that you couldn't ever do otherwise. And the bottom line is, He doesn't make you a pack mule for sin. My iniquities are gone over my head. There's a man in a book, ABCs of Alcoholism. I've tried to go online and find it. I hadn't been able to find it yet. A sister in the Shawnee congregation loaned it to me many years ago to read. And I read it, and it was a real eye-opener. Mama had told me some of this stuff, and I didn't know just how much she knew because she never drank. Daddy never drank. We didn't have anything to do with that stuff. But it talked about the DTs. It talked about people that done heinous crime because of liquor and alcohol. And one of them that just about breaks my heart every time I think about it is the bottom line. There was a wife. She had a husband that liked to drink some. She was over at the neighbor's with her small baby. And the husband come home. And it was a couple and their children and this wife and her child and their child. And he come home and she said, I need to get to the house. Okay. She went over and the man had been drinking. And he took the baby out of this woman's arms. And he took it into the kitchen. And folks, he took a butcher knife and he cut its head off. He killed that baby right there. He committed a gross sin. He paid that debt for many, many years, the wounds that thing. When he come to and he actually learned what he'd done, he about couldn't handle it. Can you imagine? He killed the baby. Alcoholism takes you further and further and further down. It gets you deeper and deeper. Drugs do the same thing. Gambling does the same thing. One businessman was told by a lawyer in the town of Shawnee, if you knew what I know of the damage that gambling is doing to this town, you'd be shocked. He told me that. He was in my congregation at that time. He told me, he said, this lawyer told him he dealt with the cases by the numbers. He said their numbers of them is in great trouble because of gambling. And yet people want to dabble with it. And I don't totally understand it, even though my sister has done it. And I flat told her one time, I said, Ken, there's one thing you don't have to do. You don't have to leave that house and go gamble. She said, yes, I do too. And I don't totally grasp. My brother told me some things that I can't repeat in the pulpit. But I could see his point. But here's the line. Those things take you further down. And down to the iniquities are over your head. It's too heavy a burden for me. There's no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. The people that are in sin out there that are doing the things they're doing, they don't have peace, they don't have joy. They're in wickedness. They're in sin. The wrath of God is abiding on them, the Bible said. They're in a real mess. There is no rest. Is there any rest in my bones because of my sin? Think about it. Said, I'm troubled. I'm bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. There is people in the depths of sin that are in pain and anguish, and you may not know the bottom line of it, but they're constantly troubled in the back of their mind. They're bowed down because of the weight of the sin in their minds, in their hearts. They're mourning. They're mourning. They want loose. They want freedom. They want to be able to get out of what they're in. But they're in it and they can't get out. I go mourning. I don't have any rest. I don't have any peace. I don't have any joy. Many a drunkard has woke up the next day with hangovers. Many a drug person has come out of the haze of that stuff. And they're hung up. They're troubled. They're bothered. They want loose. They want freedom. They want blessings. And they cannot find it.
You know where to go. But because of Babylon and because of what they've taught for years, sin you must, they got that part right. If you're in sin, you're going to sin. Amen. You're going to sin. Sin you must, sin you can't help it. The bottom line is that's the way they've taught it, and consequently Babylon has destroyed America in some ways because of that doctrine. They don't teach what they ought to teach. They ought to teach there's real deliverance. Just accept Jesus. And they don't teach real deliverance and real power, real authority. There is authority tonight. But because of what those places are teaching, it's because of what those people have heard and been taught all down through the year. They don't have a body of people to turn to like you do. But folks, tonight, don't go out there and play with sin and then want to turn around because you may never get the chance. You could die in that. There's thousands of people have died since we've started this service. There's 6,000 people die per hour. Over 6,000 people die per hour around the clock. So there's been several thousand people have died since we started this service. All right, one more place and I'll quit. Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59 and 1. Let's read a verse or two here. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. But your iniquities. People out there teach that you can sin more or less every day and still go to heaven. That ain't what this says. It says your iniquities are separated between you and your God. Sin sends people to hell, folks. There is not any ifs, ands, buts about it. It destroys and it sends people to hell. Where I am, you cannot come. You'll die in your sins, and where I am, you cannot come, he said there in John the 8th chapter, I believe it was. And so consequently, he says here, your iniquities are separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you. Listen, if you want the smiles of Jesus, get out of sin. If you want the blessings of Jesus, you need to repent. You need to turn to him. You need to confess and repent and do what he wants you to do to be able to have the smiles and the blessings and the glory and the peace and the joy and the love. That's what will happen if you'll turn and do what you ought to do. Your sins have hid his face from you. What's going to make hell so bad is the fact that the presence of God is not there. You can come here and you can go to meetings in different places where you live, Church of God meetings, you can be blessed, you can have the presence of God, you can have the blessings of being there. But the bottom line, folks, if a person continues on in sin and they're lost, there's no Christ there. There's no presence there. There's no glory there. And there's a great gulf. He looked up. There was a great gulf. All right, let's stand. Have a number, please. I appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers.